Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think about the television, news and talk shows, radio shows, YouTube channels, any media that you watch and enjoy the most. If you're like me, your list is probably pretty short. Probably only about 3 to 5 shows really capture your attention enough for you to finish them and then return over and over again to watch or listen to them again and again, day after day. What is it that all of these shows, all of this media, has in common? They are probably about a number of different topics. Some may be political in nature, some may be financial advice, some may be pure comedy, and some are on a topic that is not divisive at all in this area, college athletics. You may even have shows on your list with which you completely and totally disagree. However, all of these disparate shows probably have at least one thing in common: a powerful and effective speaker who captures your attention, who draws you in, and who uses clever tricks of speech to convey a message to you. That is true today, and it was also true in Paul's time. Good speakers carry weight. And for the Corinthians, Paul's audience in 1 Corinthians, the Corinthians veritably worshipped wisdom, human wisdom, and rhetoric. For all, have you ever gone to see or hear a comedian or motivational speaker or watch them online just to sit in awe of their speaking ability? Doesn't matter what they're talking about, they have such a way with words that you can't help but be enthralled. I remember a guy who was a couple years ahead of me in high school who had an amazing ability to tell stories. Everyone always wanted to sit by him on the marching band trips to listen to his stories. Why is it that politicians gain such devoted followings? Their message is only part of the story of why people follow them. The other part is how effectively they can communicate their message. And the Corinthians are the same way. Human wisdom and oratory were their bread and butter. And in Greek culture, good orators were prized above almost everything else. And so imagine how the Corinthians must have reacted to Paul when he showed up in Corinth and started preaching. Paul describes this a little at the beginning of chapter 2 when he says, "When I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Paul wasn't exactly a gifted speaker among them. Now, having been trained by the Pharisees from a very young age, he certainly had a degree of oratorical skill he regularly employs on the page in all of his letters, but apparently he did not have enough speaking ability to hold a candle to the Corinthians' heavyweight rhetorical champion. And there were probably a lot of Corinthians who scoffed at Paul's hick talk, but a few did come to listen to him. In Athens, Paul starts talking, and in Acts 17, it says that when they, the Athenians, heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But others said, "We will hear you again about this." Same probably held true in Corinth, that most didn't pay him much attention because he didn't speak well, but a few came and wanted to hear again. And so I guess the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is the attraction for churches? For some people, it is about the oratorical skill of the preacher. I've been to some churches with incredibly gifted preachers, and frankly, I can't possibly compete with any of them. Oratorical skill can certainly be a useful tool in conveying the gospel in a manner that people hear and understand. But at the same time, oratorical skill can also lead people astray from the truth. After all, just think of Hitler. Why did he gain such devoted following in the 30s and 40s? It was because he could speak. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns against this very danger when he says, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." It is not the preacher that brings us to the church. For others, it may be the style of worship. Do I feel God's presence in this worship service? Now, emotion can certainly be a powerful tool in worship. After all, we do have emotions as a good gift from God, but emotions can also lead astray. Pure emotion is a tenuous basis for anything, since emotions can change at the drop of a hat. Still others are looking for what they can receive from the church. Does the church have a youth program? Can I just go without having to actually serve in the congregation? Now, in some ways, this is not necessarily a bad thing. You should be fed by the church you attend. However, we are not called by and for personal preferences. We are called by God's Holy Spirit to the church for the purpose of building up the church that He placed us into. So ultimately, what brings one into the church is not fancy talking or personal preferences, but the Spirit of God working through the power of God in and among us. Rather than human wisdom and talent, the basis and foundation for our faith is the Holy Spirit. And that is what Paul impressed upon the Corinthians in verses 1 through 5. "I did not come to proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." It is God's power that brings us together today. The Holy Spirit has called us all by the gospel. The Holy Spirit has enlightened us with His gifts. He sanctifies us, which means He makes us holy through the washing of new birth and baptism, through feeding us on Holy Communion. He makes us holy, and He keeps and preserves us in the true faith, strengthening us so that we can serve in His church. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals to us the true wisdom of God. For all, the fear of the Lord is wisdom. This wisdom comes before the foundation of the world and revealed God's plan and purpose, that He created the world to be perfect, but then when the world was corrupted, God took on human nature to redeem His world. God used that which was low and despised, death by crucifixion, to despise and bring low sin, death, the devil, and even what we think of as human wisdom. The Holy Spirit reveals God's wisdom to us and by His power creates the faith which accepts God's wisdom. It is the Holy Spirit who worked through Paul to perform actual miracles. The Holy Spirit freed him from prison on multiple occasions. He performed acts of healing through Paul. He cast out demons through Paul. God worked through Paul in signs and wonders to reveal himself to the people. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't usually work that way today through us to perform those miracles. For all, aside from viewing baptism as an exorcism, I haven't really cast out any demons. Although in baptism, we do see God's Holy Spirit taking the place of the unclean for those who are baptized. Though spiritual healings do happen in the missionary context of the global South, they don't happen all that often here and now today in America. And yet, the Holy Spirit is still at work through his power in and through us. He works through God's Word, giving us faith in God's Word, bringing us out of darkness into the light. In Isaiah 55, it says that God's Word shall not return empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's Word comes out through the Holy Spirit and is brought to us and turns us to God. It creates faith in us and it strengthens faith in us so that we serve. God also works through means of holy baptism, through absolution, through the Lord's Supper, to give us faith, to strengthen that faith, and to make us his people. What brings God's people together is not skilled speakers or talented teachers. It is not specific types of worship or activities. No, what brings God's people together into his church is God himself, working through his means to do his work in and among them. By means of his word, the message that's being spoken, the Holy Spirit makes God known to people. By humble and unspectacular means, bread and wine, water and words, the Holy Spirit delivers the miraculous blessings of forgiveness and life to people. We are not brought together as God's church because of specific people and how they give the message. What makes us God's church is God himself. God who is present with us in our worship. God who gives us his gifts. God who gives the power to the message proclaimed and the words that are spoken. God and his power is at work among us. And that is the message of the church. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.